Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free. Hello there, ladies. Today, I have the pleasure of chatting with my friend again, Dr. Gina Gaudio-Grace, who you have met before a few times, but we want to have a different kind of conversation today. But before we get going, let me remind you who she is, okay? So Dr. Gina Gaudio-Grace is a retired attorney and in 1991 graduated from Notre Dame Law School, where she was the lead note editor of the Notre Dame Law Review. Dr. Gina holds a PhD in entrepreneurship and business strategy and is a certified wealth management specialist and a licensed document preparer. Dr. Gina is also the founder of Abundance Group Trust and the co-founder of the Abundance for All Foundation. Her personal mission is to touch the life of every person on the planet in a meaningful way. Hey there, Dr. Gina. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Monica.
It's always so good to get to chat with you, Dr. Gina.
And it was so great to meet you in person last week.
Oh my gosh. Ladies, yes, let's start with that. So Dr. Gina, as you know from past shows, she runs the Abundance Group Trust. And so she's got a lot of clients, myself included. And the trusts are really good for asset protection, tax mitigation, legacy asset protection. So all of those things. And she had her very first event with all of us clients there. And so I got to meet her in person. She's been coaching me and mentoring me for years. So it was so good to finally meet in person. And Dr. Gina, I just have to say, I have not done your testimonial yet, but the thing that I want to say is that to me, it was really incredible to meet so many wealthy people whose heart is in service to community. So not only do their businesses run in a way where they're of service to their clients, but they take a portion of that and are doing amazing things in the world, tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what's so incredible to me is I thought, you know, as a small business owner, we're kind of humble. We don't talk about it. So we don't talk to each other about it either. So we didn't know, right, that all these people are doing this. And then you started to hear about it from the big boys, right? Like Microsoft does it, Warren Buffett does it. They've all got their foundation part of their business. And now it's become really cool. So now everybody's talking about it. But there were a lot of us out there that was doing it long before it was cool to do it. Just because that's how we are. That's how we build our businesses. That's how we build our lives. It's a high priority. And oh my gosh, it was so cool to meet so many people like me in a room having these conversations. Of course, we want to build big businesses. And of course, we want to help the community. And of course, we want to empower people, right? It was like a dream being in a room with all of those amazing people, Gina. Good job for bringing all of them together.
Thank you so much. It is who I attract because of my mission, right? There's no way me personally can touch the life of every person on this planet. 7.3 billion people is just a little daunting task for me personally to do. We're working with entrepreneurs and small business owners, as well as investors who really have a heart similar to mine, like you and I do, together we really can touch the life of every person on the planet. It is so obvious when you're in the room of people we were with last week that, oh my gosh, how could we not reach every person on the planet with the number of people that are doing amazing work all over the place?
Exactly. And just some of the stories that people were sharing about what they're doing, and some of it's real foundational, fundamental stuff. We're not talking about sending things to people and building houses. We're talking about water systems and school, whole school systems, and, you know, just real foundational infrastructure stuff, which is where the big impact really happens, right? Fixing water, you know, making water drinkable for communities, those sorts of things.
Exactly. And there are a lot of people doing it. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah,
doing we it just quietly.
Yeah, right. We're not looking for kudos. We're just looking to help the world. I think I talk about it because I want to encourage people to do it. But for years, you know, for 25 years, I didn't talk about it. Right.
Yep.
So just really, really amazing. And ladies, if you are listening and you're thinking about doing Genus Trust, know that that's part of the benefit is you get plugged into that community and you get expanded to new ways of thinking, new opportunities, a new community that thinks the way that you do and is really focused on helping to empower you, and you're inspired to empower them, right? Everybody's there to help each other.
It was so much fun. It looked like I wasn't going to have the minimum number of people I needed for the event. Mm-hmm. I had a minimum spend I had to make.
Oh.
So I came up with this idea about 2 weeks before the event to have the Hard Rock, which is where we were at, packaged up the extra food, and I would take it to a homeless shelter each night. They wouldn't do it. I couldn't believe they wouldn't do it. But they said, oh, what if one of the homeless people gets sick? There's too much liability. I'm like, you guys, come on. So instead, they were going to throw the food away. I was like, okay, forget it. So I decided like 3 days before the event to call this the Abundance Project. There's so much abundance in this room. How could I not do something with it? So I went to Publix. I got fried chicken and all the fixin', big 3-gallon things of lemonade and iced tea, giant platters of all different kinds of brownies, and another one of all different kinds of cookies. And I started calling homeless shelters to find a couple that we could feed 2 nights of the event. Well, it took like 12 calls to find 2 that were willing to let us bring food in to the homeless people, which kind of surprised me right there. But
that's
okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. So Monday night, we fed 125 people and brought a $1,000 cash donation. Tuesday night, we fed 110 residents, and they had some emergency issues going on the 2 weeks before the event, and they had a really massive need for $3,100. So I asked everyone in the audience to contribute donations. I got this gorgeous donation box, and I decided whether I got enough in donations or not, we were giving them the $3,100 they needed for their emergency. Well, this turned into stuff that was so much bigger than I was thinking. I was just thinking we were going to feed some people because we could. We ended up inviting the founder of that second homeless shelter to join us Wednesday for lunch because they have a bigger need than just the food or the emergency fund. They actually have this really cool 4-phase system that takes people from homelessness to becoming gainfully employed to saving enough money for a down payment to actually buying a house.
Wow.
Only they can't find enough houses in the Tampa area that they can find lenders for to be able to handle the need. They have 24 people that need houses right now. I'm sitting in a room of 142 people, most of them real estate investors, and I knew for sure that one of the guys in the audience had over 200 properties within an hour of Tampa, and I knew of others that also had properties. So I went up to him on Tuesday night after I heard about this need and said, hey, know anybody that might have some houses that might be interested in selling to some needy people and helping them with some financing? He looks at me and says, have you ever heard of an A&E TV show called Zombie House? Well, as a matter of fact, I had just seen a commercial for it before I came to the event, but I knew nothing more than the commercial. I knew it existed, basically. He says, it's a fix and flip show. I'm funding four tract houses for them right now in downtown Tampa, and they've already started the rehab work. They're shooting the show already. Would that be helpful? I'm like, oh my gosh, can you get the guys from the show to show up at the event? So lunch on Wednesday, we had both groups of people. We had the investor that was funding those four properties. I had the star of the show, Domar happens to be his name. He grew up less than a quarter of a mile from where I live. I can see the house he grew up in from my lanai. And then I also had Parker from Homeless Helping Homeless in Tampa, who came not knowing what it was that I wanted him there for. Oh my gosh. This has turned into something huge. We have so many people in the community that were there at the event that then connected to Parker, and they're helping in a variety of different ways. I didn't know that that was going to happen, but I made it a part of my business, right? That was a for-profit event for Abundance Group Trust, a for-profit business. And I just did this one little itty bitty thing, the Abundance Project, and look what happened.
And I think that's the thing is when you start down that path, magic can happen. And the community, your community really allowed for so much of that, right? And I think this is the thing about being an entrepreneur, and certainly being an entrepreneur, a small entrepreneur like myself, like I'm a solopreneur, right? Every bit of that I hire is on a 1099, but my world is lonely. I don't have people, you know, I have people to support my business like you, but I don't have people around me all the time, like people that work, right? And so you don't have people to kind of just spontaneous bounce things of them, you know, and have conversations and brainstorming. But also you don't get the support around the conversation about donation either. It's so interesting, Gina, and this was one of the things that really struck me when I was there, is normally when I'm out in the world having a conversation about the projects that I'm involved with, there's almost this view of me that I'm bragging. You know, like, Monica, look at you, think you're doing all these wonderful things in the world. Not really. What I'm really wanting or looking for when I'm having these conversations is exactly what you're talking about, is someone hearing what I'm talking about and being inspired to give me new ideas. Or maybe they're inspired themselves to contribute to something that matters to them, right? But that's not what really happens in the real world. It seems that it's more like, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's the way that I talk about it, but I get this sort of negative, you know, let's not talk about that. Stop bragging. I had someone tell me once, well, you think really highly of yourself. I was like, but that's not
it. Oh my
it
gosh.
At all. I know. That's not
oh
it at
gosh.
All.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so it was so lovely to be in a room where we could talk about the things that were so important to our heart. Like, yes, our businesses are important and we've got a lot of people we can talk to about that. But the things that are going on in our heart, the way that we want to solve the suffering in the world, that's our heart. And you don't get to talk about that. And there suddenly I'm in a room of people that want to have those conversations and had ideas. I suck at fundraising. I suck. It's one of those things.
They had so
really
many good ideas about that.
I know. But I just like, I can do business stuff. I help my temple and they're building a school in India and an ashram to help people find peace. They're doing all these really cool things. And they're constantly like, Monica, can you help with the fundraising? Well, I just don't. I can't. But I can run
you know your skill
the business.
Set. That's
yes,
good for you.
That's right. I can run their business piece and I can do some other stuff. I can do some negotiating. They're looking for some real estate right now, right? So I can do a lot of that stuff. But anyway, so it was just awesome to sit in this room and just have these conversations about what's on my heart. What really, why do I do all of this? So much of this is I'm serving the community of women that I want to empower, right? It's in service to you ladies that are listening, is I want to empower you to create the life of choice and freedom that you deserve. But also, I donate to lots of different organizations, and one in particular that I'm heavily involved in because I'm on the board. So it was just amazing to be in a room of people that didn't think I was bragging, that were so happy to brainstorm with me and help and give me ideas and understand the fears and the concerns and the frustrations that I have. All of that stuff. It was truly amazing, Gina. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome. Is the type of people that I naturally attract. Mm-hmm. This business of mine is a new business for me. It's very different than the business I had when you and I first met. It's been around for 2.5 years, and 100% of the clients have come from nothing but word of mouth. No advertising, no marketing. I've been on your show and one other show, and I have some referral partners. That's it. And even the referral partners came from word of mouth. It's the fact that I talk about both what we do in the business to serve and what we do through my foundations, because I have two of them. I have a private family foundation, I have a public charity, what we do there to serve. And it just attracts the right people because of it. I was blown away, the people in the room, and I know their businesses intimately. I know what they do for making a difference in the world. And yet I was still blown away by all of them in a group. The big group pictures that I plan for at the end of each day, I'm having all of them framed. Just to see all of the people in that room reminds me of the energy that was in the room for those 3.5 days. And it was so powerful.
It was palpable. It was
It
amazing.
really was. Really, really was.
You know, Gina, this is such a good topic. We were thinking about talking about something else for this show,
I'm
but
sorry. I'm
that's
still in the
okay.
energy of that event. It's so
Yes, and
cool.
me too. Yeah, me too. So, but since we're on this path, why don't you talk a little bit again about sort of the structure? Give us a little bit more of an idea of kind of how the foundation side of this works. So, since we're so inspired by all the amazing good work that's being done in the world and how these foundations are helping these businesses, why don't we talk about that a little bit? Could you help share with my ladies how they too can have their own personal family foundation so that they can do more work in the more good work in the world also?
Absolutely. And private family foundations are, for many of my clients, that's their starting point. They then move from there into starting a business. And the reason it's a starting point for a lot of people is when you still are in corporate America and you have a W-2 job, there's not a whole lot of things you can do to help mitigate taxes. Private family foundations are one thing that can really make a difference on your tax liability, allowing you to start building wealth faster because you're not paying as much in taxes, so that you can then use those dollars to do other things like invest in real estate. So here's how a private family foundation works, at least in my world. We set up a charitable trust. You are the founder, you are also the trustee. Beneficiaries of that trust are not your family members. The beneficiaries are the audience you want to serve. So in my case, my mission statement for my private family foundation is to touch the life of every person on the planet in a meaningful way. It's a great mission statement because it allows me to do pretty much anything I want within the foundation. One day I might be helping with a school project and getting kids to do something that they want to do. The next day I'm feeding homeless people. The next day I'm still in Lee County, Florida, in Fort Myers, where the hurricane happened last year. We still have blue roofs everywhere you look because they are still covered with tarps. So I'm helping my community, those who can't afford to do deductible on their insurance or who maybe didn't have insurance and they still have huge repair bills. So any of those things are fair game within the foundation. Now, a private family foundation is very unique. You can contribute up to 30% of your adjusted gross income. It's a dollar for dollar reduction of adjusted gross income. So if you make 100,000 a year, you can put 30,000 a year in your foundation, and now you're only taxed on 70,000 instead of 100,000. That's going to drop you, for most people, 1 to 2 tax brackets, which means that the dollars you're getting taxed on are not only fewer dollars, but they're taxed at a lower tax rate. So in the end, it can mean sometimes 34 to 37% reduction in your tax liability, which is enormous for most people. Many people think when you hear foundation, it's a 501c3, so it's a true charity, meaning tax-exempt charity, that the money you put in it goes into this black hole only to be used to do good in the world. That's
That's
what makes
exactly
private
where I was
family
headed.
foundations unique. That is not true with a private family foundation structured in a charitable trust. The beneficiaries are definitely the people that you want to serve through your mission. However, this is one of the only things I'm aware of that can also provide fringe benefits for the founder and the trustees. Many clients have their children as trustees, as well as themselves and their spouses. They do that because of the fringe benefits. Let me just touch on a few fringe benefits it can provide. It can do things like pay for life insurance or health insurance for any of the trustees. It can also allow the family to go on a family retreat once a quarter. What is that? Well, it's a vacation. You're taking your family on vacation to solidify the family unit. And while you're on vacation, all of you are keeping your eyes open for good work that your foundation might do. Doesn't have to do it. It's a might do. If you want to do it, great.
Can I interrupt for just a minute regarding that? What I have found, which is so interesting, is, you know, there's a lot of need in the world. So there's lots of opportunities to put our money towards projects. But what doesn't seem to be overabundant is the awareness of these things. And so what I love about that is you're on a family vacation, and there's a little bit of that family vacation that's about getting out of our own heads and getting out of our own minds and looking into the lives of others and where can we help. So you may not choose in this particular case to donate to that particular foundation or that particular cause, but it's good to remember, you know, we do these gratitude practices, right? It makes us so much more grateful for all that we have when we see what other people are kind of going through, when we get out of our own minds. And then it inspires us to think about, okay, where can I help? What light me up or fill my heart up to help? Because every organization, every cause isn't the right one for every person.
Correct.
But there are many, many opportunities for us to look at what would fit for us. And each vacation, if you were to visit, and David and I have done this for a long time anyways, is kind of looked around at what are the ways that we can help. And sometimes we help and sometimes we don't. But what's the need in that particular community? Like, we've been to 65 different countries, right? In different communities, everybody needs different things, right? But it also inspires us to keep looking, to keep in being involved in our communities. And it also really, really shines a light on how blessed we truly are. Like,
absolutely.
Thank you, universe.
So let me mention one little thing about this. Can you help other causes, other foundations, other charities? Yes, your foundation can definitely do that. However, your foundation can help individuals too. Mm-hmm. So one of my clients lives in Los Angeles. She oftentimes goes right through the inner city and she sees a lot of homelessness. She has always kept $500 to $1,000 in $20 bills in her glove box. And when she goes through this community and sees the need of all these people, she literally gets out of her car and starts passing out $20 bills. Until she met me, could she take that off on her taxes? No, she couldn't. There was no way to do it because it wasn't being done through a charity. Once she set up her foundation, however, the $1,000 she put in the glove box came from the foundation's checking account and not her own. And now when she gets out of her car and passes out $20 bills, that's a foundation expense, not a personal expense. So she got to deduct that money that she put into the foundation to get $1,000 to go pass out money in her local neighborhood. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's basically taking it out of your left pocket instead of your right pocket. In a way that causes less taxes to happen. So you have the money to do the good work with.
That's right. And that's where I was going to head next is I've actually had people say, Monica, why are you so caught up in write-offs? Like, you should be doing good charity in the world just because it's a good thing to do. And I'm like, so if I don't write it off, I have less money to do that good work with.
Precisely.
Right? It's like, why would I give it? Like, I am not an anti-tax person. I've been all over the world. I know what our taxes pay for. We live in an amazing country and we need to pay taxes for infrastructure and all of those things. I don't agree with everything, but I do believe in paying taxes. So I'm not anti-tax. However, I would like to be able to do more work in the world that the government can't do and shouldn't be involved in, right?
Uh-huh.
And other governments in other parts of the world are not as supportive of their communities. So if we don't pay as much tax, now there's more that I can do good with, right?
Totally agree. Completely agree. And I'm not anti-tax either. And I tell clients all the time, our trusts can be structured to give you a $0 tax liability, but that shouldn't be your goal. We need to pay some taxes or we're really going to have problems in our communities. So don't ever try for a zero-sum tax liability. But that doesn't mean we have to pay exorbitant amounts of taxes either. And I totally agree with the fact that when you've got more disposable income because you're not paying as much in taxes, you've got more to do good work with. Can I give one more quick story?
Absolutely.
This is another real life story from a client. The client took her two sons, their wives, and their eight grandchildren on vacation to the Caribbean not that long ago. And to get to the hotel from the airport, they rented a van. They get in the van, they're just starting their vacation, and they could tell that, you know, this isn't the nicest van. So they started talking to the driver. The driver has five children, all of them really struggling because he doesn't make very much money with this van. His van needed some repairs. It needed some tires. They all looked at each other and said, yep, time for a grant from our foundation. And they gave him an extra $500 on top of the fare. What a great thing to start your vacation with.
No
I
kidding.
I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And you've got the flexibility to be able to help just this man and his five kids.
Yeah, exactly. And we, many of us just do that naturally anyways, right? We're
right.
just kind of, anyways, so that's a beautiful story. And we heard so many stories like that this last week. It was
right.
just so heartwarming. Some of them just brought me to tears. I was like, wow, just the beauty of the souls in that room. Just incredible.
And the other great thing about a private family foundation, yes, you're going to contribute money from your 1040 return to your foundation to get the tax benefit. Once you get the determination letter from the IRS, which happens in a few weeks after setting it up, you can accept donations from anybody else and give them a charitable gift receipt, and they get to do the same thing. They too can deduct 30%, up to 30% of their adjusted gross income if they make a donation in that amount. So it doesn't have to just be your money that you're contributing that you then use to do good in the world. You can get donations from others. You can go out and get grants. There's so many grants for so many things. It blew my mind when I started looking at the grants. Holy cow, are there a lot of them. Even locally, here in our community, because of the hurricane, our government has over $50 billion, but they don't have anybody to actually do the work. So they're looking for foundations that they can give grants to so that the foundations then go and find the people to do the work. It would be so easy for me to walk in and get a $10 million grant just from the government. Easy. If I could prove to them that I had a way to use it in the community to help with the hurricane stuff. Easy to
Wow.
get that money, not hard at all. So it can fund lots of different things. Well, lots of different things can fund the foundation, and then you get to use the dollars in the foundation, both to do good work, as well as to provide fringe benefits.
Right.
I don't think it's a good idea to just use the money for fringe benefits. If you're getting grants, you have to use it for whatever it was earmarked for.
And you
But
should.
It can be done in so many ways.
Yeah. I have met organizations where they, you know, it's basically they pay the trustees or whatever 95% and only 5% go
I
to
know.
The
ba-
you know, base services. So we're not recommending that, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, very much against that. But just
As
there are different
I.
ways. Yeah, of course. But putting 30% of our income in is also a high ticket amount. So you do need some ways that you can, so that it doesn't just go into this black hole, right? So, yeah.
And if we then couple the foundation with a trust in the future, with our trust, the foundation can actually give the trust a loan. So let's just say you have our business trust and your business trust wants to go out and buy a new property. Your foundation can give a loan for the down payment if it's got the money. When you do that, you give the foundation a security interest by giving it units of beneficial interest. It's kind of like giving somebody a capital account in an LLC if they wanted to invest in your business. Same sort of thing.
Okay.
Just done with your foundation instead of with somebody else. Now your business goes out, buys that property. 100% of the rent and lease income goes into your trust. It does not go to the foundation. Once a year, you have to pay interest to the foundation, but it's simple interest, not compound interest. And it's at a super, super low rate. Like this year, it's a little higher than last year. So it'll be around 4%. Last year, it was about 1.5%. But until such time as you sell that property, that money is still out there in the loan and you're just paying that simple interest once a year. That's pretty awesome too. It's a way for your foundation to have a little bit of income from the interest, and you still get to use the money to do investments if you choose to through your business. And that's pretty cool too. Many of the people in the room last week were doing that.
And then there was this other thing that we talked about with the foundations where Yuri talked about getting loans for foundation to create. He did like 10 times the money to do good work. It was amazing the way that he stacked that. So you can get loans. Just, I don't want to go into that whole thing because it's a little confusing, but to just do it in audio, you do need to see some visual stuff. But it you can get loans in the foundation too to do good work and do this sort of thing
too. That's what Yuri specializes in.
Right.
His whole presentation was called Leverage for Investors. And right. Foundations are a big way of getting leverage for investments. I mean, it blew my mind when he first produced that whole thing for me. I'm like, I never thought about it from that direction. I always thought about it 180 degrees the opposite.
That's exactly right.
Get the loans so you can do more loans. Wow, that's pretty cool, right? and of itself.
Yeah. And that was the magic of the community, is that we had so many minds doing so many cool things that we could kind of, and we could brainstorm with each of them. They were all completely accessible. All of the speakers were accessible, and everybody in the groups were accessible and full of generosity. And it was really special. But yeah, this whole thing about foundations.
Even the life insurance guys, mm-hmm. I don't know if you picked up on it was a little baby piece of what they were presenting. But because the foundation can get life insurance on any of the trustees, you can go out and get some really cool life insurance policies that include what's called premium financing, where you're not having to pay 100% of the premium out of your pocket. The foundation pays a part of it and a bank pays a part of it. But down the road, say 10 years after the policy inception, you can actually start taking loans from the policy into the foundation, using those dollars to either do some more investing or to do more good or to pay for fringe benefits. And those loans continue to earn at the same rate the other dollars are in the policy earning. That was also a very cool strategy to help the foundation do that much more good.
Yes. And so, ladies, I know that was, so again, looking at the numbers is a little easier when you can see it.
Yeah. But
we've had people talk on the show about infinite banking or, you know, those sorts of things. It turns out that we can do that for the foundation also. It's structured a little
exactly
bit differently.
Right.
It's structured a little bit differently, but you can definitely do that infinite banking concept within the foundation also. So that was a real eye opener. I loved that.
And you can even do it using other people's money, not just your own, is really what the guys were talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's really cool because most infinite banking strategies, you've got to come up with the money to fund.
Right.
But this was a combination of a little bit of yours and a lot of bit of the banks.
Yeah.
And they're non-recourse loans. So it's really easy to get those, especially if it's done in a foundation.
Exactly. It's really cool. And the just ladies, to remind you, the infinite banking thing, what happens is when the money goes out, you pay interest to the policy, right? But the policy, that money that's been loaned to you, continues to make money in the policy at like a guaranteed rate of 4% or something like that. And I know that sounds hokey, but it's real. It actually
works.
It is
very real. And
they've got
the money that you pay is lower than the money it's earning.
That's
so in the end, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It seems it's free money.
It does. And it's not a lot. I mean, it's not even going to keep up with inflation and stuff like that.
No.
But whoever heard of like, I borrowed the money and that money is still making money somewhere else. It's like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. So anyway, so there's lots of cool things that I didn't know about that we could do in the foundation. And I didn't expect to talk about this today, Gina, but I'm so glad that we got to do it.
It's a leveraging tool.
Right.
You know, clients call me Leveragina quite often.
Right.
Because I'm disabled, I can't live life without leverage. But I use leverage in everything, whether it's life, business, investing, doesn't really matter. Leverage is a cool thing. And your foundation is a vehicle that gives you more leverage for both life and business. And the reason I say for life is the theme of our event last week was anything is possible. ... when you put the needs of others first, anything is possible is something I live every single day. I have accomplished so much more than I ever thought when the doctors gave me less than a year to live in January of 2005. Anything really is possible. But when you couple that with when you put the needs of others first, now you're like massive leverage. The more good you do, the more it comes back to you. The more that comes back to you, the more good you can do. And the two parts really can fuel one another. That's what I'm all about. That's what I've been about for 27 years of owning my business. When I studied businesses that were already successful back in 2000, looking for the pattern among them, that was the thing that I realized. Those business owners who were really out there, not just setting up for-profit arms, but also non-profit arms, tying the two pieces together, they did so much more good and they made so much more money. The two parts fuel one another. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's what I live for, quite frankly. It fuels my heart. It fuels my dreams. And in the end, I'll use Monica's phrase, I really do get to have a blissful life.
I love that. My dad told me something once a while ago. You know, my business has gone up and down. My coaching business, media personality business. The real estate business has been super consistent, which I'm very appreciative of. But there are days where, or months or years where I feel tight, you know, where I'm like, we're not bringing in the money that I want or whatever. And my dad always told me when I was younger, he says, you know, Monica, whenever you're feeling tight, write a check to someone that needs
it. Oh, I love this.
And so that's what I do. My husband, like the first few years together, he was like, what are you doing? That could be a trip to Europe. That could be this. That could be that. And I'm like, no, I'm going to write it because I know that if I write it, it will multiply. And it's such an interesting thing that happens, right? Because you write that check and then it's like your whole, everything opens because now you suddenly realize that you could write that check. It's like a mind trick, right? I can't
really
write
is.
This check. It's not actually going to hurt my bank balance. There's not, you know, there's, and oh my gosh, we do have this cash. And somehow it's like that opens up. And then of course the business starts doing better because now you're not so clamped down with we're broke, it's not working. And all of those things that happen when you're under stress. You know what I mean?
I want to meet your dad. Oh
my
God.
That's amazing. I know.
What an amazing piece of advice. I wish my dad had told me that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's within reason. And we don't, ladies, I don't want you to think that you just, like, hear me. It has to be within your means. You don't go into debt to do this stuff, right? Of course, be sensible. But I think so much of the time, we don't think we can when we really can. And that opens our hearts, but it also opens our minds to the realization of how blessed we are, which then allows us to be less stressed, opens up our creativity, which allows us to perform better and to do better, more things in our businesses and in other areas of our life. So that's been one of my tricks all my life. You know, when I'm starting to feel tight, I write a check I don't think I can write. I mean, the money's there, but I don't feel like I can do it. And then it's like, it changes everything. My husband's seen it. You know, he's an engineer. He doesn't believe in all of this like mind trick stuff. You know, he's like, life is all science, but he's changed after being with me for 30 years. But in those early years, man, he would just look at me, but now he's so sold. It's so good. I just love it.
Well, and years ago, before I actually had money, I still gave money away. It was a lot smaller amount than I give money away now. But back then, it felt like even giving away $20, it was like, oh boy, I'm probably going to need that $20 in a couple of weeks to buy food. But I just trusted it and did it anyway.
Yes.
And like you, my husband back then, I'm divorced now, but back then my husband was like, don't you dare do that. Well, I'd do it anyway. And oh my gosh, what a difference it would make. I had more than enough always.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
You just don't realize it.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It really is. And it really does give you the bliss that you're looking for. I can't even describe how or why, but you just feel better knowing that you're helping, don't you?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's called The Giver's High. I've actually got it in my book, you know, Choose Bliss, right? It talks about all of these strategies. And that's one of them is that you, It sounds a little bit selfish, right? You get this giver's high, you know, so you give so that you feel good. But it's what a good circular chicken and egg thing, right? Like, if everybody's feeling good and everybody's winning, just do it. Don't overthink that, right?
Yes, don't. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And yeah. Understand, we're not saying give it away and then go brag about it to everybody.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Keep it private.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I never talked about it until like sort of wanting to encourage people in my book, Choose Bliss. It's in there. And so, of course, people ask about it. But I want people to understand that this is a big piece of being blissful.
It truly is.
And it's, you know, it's an important piece. And on this podcast, to understand that that's money and wealth is not all about our individual needs and gain and all of that stuff. There are a lot of people out there in the world that live their lives that way, but that's not who I want my listeners to be. I want to be spreading the word of wealth can be really, really good for a lot of people. It can be good for us individually. Of course, you should benefit from all of your hard work, and it can benefit our communities and the world also.
Well, and even you mentioned earlier, you've been to 65 countries, and I know you well enough to know that in the countries you were visiting, you had your eyes open to see if there was something you could do while you were there.
Exactly.
Or maybe you didn't do it till you came home. But why not take the trip on purpose, specifically to look for good work you can do elsewhere? Mm-hmm. One of the guys that spoke last week, oh, he's such an inspiration. He happens to help people set up Amazon FBA stores fulfilled by Amazon stores. Neat guy. I met him because in May, he decided to visit Cameroon. His girlfriend is from Cameroon. And he went to Cameroon on purpose to go and bless children in villages in Cameroon. So he went there, brought a whole bunch of his own money, didn't have a foundation at the time, went out and bought food, clothes, and school supplies for all these kids, and then went from one village to the next, distributing what he had gotten for them. And what a cool thing to do. And he did it just because he had a really good year and he wanted to help. But he got a trip to Cameroon out of it, got to meet his girlfriend's family because of it, and blessed all these kids and came home, met me, and now he's setting up a foundation so he can do it more.
Well, but isn't he buying building houses there too?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Then he started this whole thing about building these houses.
He's been doing this in different countries for years. He attributes that to a big part of why his business has been so successful.
Yeah. And we don't need to talk about it for our businesses to be successful for it because of it.
Correct.
It's really just what it does to your mind and your heart and your physical stress levels that create more bliss and open you up to so much more.
Absolutely.
So I keep saying that you open up. I don't know how to describe it better, but it's, you know, sometimes when I get stressed, I feel like there's a clamp on my head, like two clamps on my brain, and I can't think straight. Like I'm in putting out fire mode. And when I do these bliss practices, it's like the clamps release so my brain can function better. My body can function better. I'm not as tired. I'm not as stressed. I'm not as feeling as run down. And when you're in a better place, your mind just works better. Creativity happens easier. Resourcefulness is a big thing when you're running a business. You know, things go wrong. There's no way around that. Things go wrong in everything, in our lives, in our businesses, in our health, in our families, in our relationships, and everything. And that resourcefulness, resilience, tenacity, all of that, we have much more access to that when we're not clamped down with stress.
Absolutely. You know? Completely.
So, yeah.
So important. Don't go into business expecting that business is going to be bliss. We'll have ups and downs in it. Mm-hmm. It's you that has to be in a blissful state so that you can handle it when it does have ups and downs.
Thank you for that.
It's the way it works, right?
It's just the way that it works. Absolutely.
And everything is energy. Your mindset is energy. So you've probably heard before that when you have amazing mindset, especially when you're in this state of gratitude, it raises your vibration. And when you raise your vibration, you attract things that have a higher vibration too. Just like all the people in the room last week. One of my favorite authors is a guy by the name of Frederick Learman. And he talks about money as energy. And one of my favorite quotes in one of his books is, money is an expression of gratitude on behalf of your customers. And for many years, I taught that if that's really true, then you need to give your clients and customers something to be grateful for. But I realized about a year and a half ago that it's bigger than that. It's in part their gratitude for what you've done for them, but it's also in part their gratitude for what you've done for the world. And the combination of the two will cause more money to come from your clients because they're grateful for both. That was big for me when I first heard it. And it sure has held true for me for many, many years, and I just hadn't seen it consciously.
Wow, that's really huge. That was a complete mind shift for me too.
Right?
Yeah.
Money is an expression of gratitude on behalf of your clients and customers. Mm-hmm. So cool.
I love
so,
that.
So cool.
Yeah.
And that's the audience we were surrounded with last week. All of them are people that I know personally I am so grateful for, and they are equally grateful for me, all because we are doing so much good in the world. So
together.
Together.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we
Gina,
hope your listeners are going to join us and help us all do more good in the world, right?
Yes, yes. And get their own givers high and experience more bliss.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
I agree. Gina, thank you so much for this conversation. I feel like we got to just sit and chat. And ladies, I hope that you got really enjoyed sort of sitting next to Gina and I as we were having this conversation that was completely unexpected, but completely filled my heart with joy. So I hope that you really benefited from that and were inspired by this conversation. Gina always inspires me. And Gina, thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with me today.
Oh, you are so welcome, Monique. You know, I love hanging out with you. And every time we have a chat, my face has this giant smile on it for 2 or 3 days. So anytime.
Yay. Yay. Thank you. Thank you, Gina. And ladies, thank you for joining us for this portion of the show. And actually, we're not doing an extra. So thank you for joining us for this show. And always remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Love you. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.